Welcome to Dharma Glow. We're a community of conscious beings who are devoted to co-creating new earth. We value joy, peace, equity, and love. Our mission is to ignite the essence of our community by sharing tools for liberation and inspiration. Join us on the path to purpose, peace, and universal harmony. It's time to come together to awaken our inner radiance. Let's glow, fam. Enjoy this podcast where we showcase some of the brightest minds and hearts in the creative space and the healing space. It's all here to inspire you. And if you're inspired by what you hear today, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, as that'll really help spread the energy of this movement. Thank you. Enjoy the vibrations. So before we get started, I just wanted to let y'all know that we have monthly community events that bring in great artists from all over the world that are raising consciousness and spreading the vibrations of love. This upcoming month in November, we have the most ambitious Dharma Glow experience yet. It is a 3-day epic wellness and music festival featuring some of the most profound healers and visionary artists the conscious scene has. We have Koya Webb coming through with the sound bath and the breath work, and Ali Michelle doing poetry. We also have Lizzie Jeff coming through with that divine feminine energy. We got Tony Jones with the affirmation game. Lava and Free Soul are coming back. You know how powerful they are as performers and artists. And we still got that plant-based vegan food. We got the pool party. It's epic. Check out the lineup at dharmaglow.com. We hope you will join us all 3 days to take in this love, this community activation, because we needed it this time more than ever. So once again, that's dharmaglow.com. We will be seeing you very soon. Let's get into the episode.
Yo, so here we are with the impromptu episode of Dharma Glow. I was here with my good homeboy and also a personal coaching client, Sean Medina. What's good?
Peace, how are you?
I'm well. Today we had one of our sessions, but it really ended up being just like a vibrational level up that we were just like riffing and talking through limiting beliefs and putting ourselves in a place to receive abundance, which came through in the course of our conversation. We got this Dharma Glow 3-day retreat coming up, and our first 2 tickets that for the 3-day festival were purchased. So we were like, yeah, all that wilding out really made a difference.
During the session.
So we had a lot to say. And a lot of energy, so we're like, let's just capture it in the podcast right now while it's hot.
Right now.
So, based on what's been going on the past few hours, like, how do you sum it up?
What I would say is I'm just excited and enjoying the mutual expansion and just being able to, and seeing your growing success, I'm seeing my own, and vice versa, acknowledging that. And I'm grateful that there's resonance there, that it's not about anyone being on a particular pedestal or anyone really being caught up in their own process, but just like, whether it's me being a client or as a friend, you as a coach or as a friend, we're both getting to have those different levels of relating simultaneously and successfully.
Yes.
So I'm grateful for that, because there's been times where that's come up. Oh man, should I do that? Is that a good way to relate? Is it healthy? But I'm finding that more and more that's actually just us being multi-dimensional beings, it actually fits.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We all have different levels of expertise that we support each other with.
Right.
You know, like, it's not a strange thing to go to the dentist. That person has expertise in that area.
Hopefully.
And they're helping you out. So we all have different levels of expertise. And even if we have the same expertise, sometimes it's nice to have space help for you in a particular way during a particular time in life. And usually what we talk about on this podcast is like the road to purpose and mm-hmm. what you learn on the path. And I feel like in our time working together, which has been about 6 weeks, maybe?
Yes, yeah, like 7 weeks, yeah.
You've had some tremendous leap forward in your clarity of purpose and the action steps you've been taking. And I would love for you just to share what's been going on, what you feel like you've accomplished, what the transformation has been like.
Sure. What I would say is the biggest impact that I've experienced from us collaborating is me recognizing that it's okay to have more than one specialty or expertise, vision, or gift to share with the world. And that I don't have to keep that bottled up.
Amen.
I don't have to pick one thing. Just having that reflection and confirmation, it's helped to release that old programming from Western society of pick your career. It's just giving it a label, and this is what you do. But just as an expansive being and interacting with yourself and another expansive being, it's been great to for that space to be held to say, hey, look, I have so many ideas, so many things that are coming through me, or want to come through. And now I can organize these things, I can structure them, and I know that I can handle that bandwidth. It's defining an ever-expanding space. That's been the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like all the creative potential has already been within me and within us. And so once the space was set, it's like everything is just expanding at its own pace. And it's not you or me doing it. It's just divine making it happen through us. We just showed up.
Yeah. The divine is always the source, obviously. And we have differing levels of ability to receive and form structures that make it functional in our lives, as opposed to it just being ideas that we have. Because we don't have a lot of ideas.
Right.
But bringing them into the physical plane and integrating them into your life experience
right.
requires a different skill set. And I've had that guidance, you know, as we talked about, I have coaches all the time. You know, I'm always in multiple programs with people trying to teach me new ways of being, new systems. And that's great. And also what I'm learning more about is that other people's systems don't necessarily always work for you, and you have to understand who you are and what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you only can do that after experimenting in different roles and trying things out and seeing the underlying concepts of what's being communicated. But this is pretty heady, pretty abstract, so I would love for you to share, like, more tangibly one of the ways you like to express yourself or support people.
Just in the general sense, as far as my gifts.
Yeah, like, what are some of the offerings that we've cultivated over the course of this time?
But one thing that we've cultivated is different forms of coaching that I can provide. And so one of them is military/PTS-based coaching, where being able to help not only veterans, but really anyone that's experienced some form of PTSD to process their emotions, most importantly, and how they show up in our physical bodies, how they can keep people stuck in these like limited patterns of moving, how they interact with the world, how they think, what they choose to focus on visually, and the program that's called True Identity, which is a subset of a look inside. And with True Identity, in kind of embracing and going on that going into the process of learning who oneself is, we get to let go of all that tension, all the blockages, all the perceived blockages, all the things that we were told was our identity. And so we basically, in the container that was set, we're able to get very grounded with that and say, hey, this is the way our program can be set up that can help people let go of PTSD and basically stop fighting it and stop fighting themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the genesis of it was based on your own experience.
Yes, being a veteran myself, that was really something that was present for me during my service. I was in the Air Force for 6 years, and getting out and being living as a civilian again the last few years, it's still been, basically that became the process itself, like learning how to reacclimate to regular civilian life, learning how to let go of all the tense ways of carrying myself physically from the military. Mm-hmm. That was really a big thing. They teach you drill, they teach you how to look, how to walk, everything, let alone what society already teaches. It was a big catalyst. Getting to that extreme of almost like being a robot and not feeling like I had identity. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, that's the rock bottom. Let's turn things around.
Right. Yeah, that's great. So I remember you talking about what you felt like the military does is try to strip you of your identity so that you can follow orders without questioning.
Right.
So to reintegrate into society and just to regain your sense of sanity, you had to rebuild your own sense of identity based on your own internal connection.
Right.
And that's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do to find your sense of self if you haven't been in the military. But if you have and you've actively had people trying to take that from you,
right,
that can be traumatizing, I can see. Yeah.
And in a certain way, it felt like it was a blessing as well. Like hitting the rock bottom, being in the military, I was also able to use the skill sets that I did develop as far as perseverance, seeing it as a mission, something to be carried out, and just not giving up and using my willpower where I felt I could.
Mm-hmm.
Just letting that expand. So that's, yeah, I agree. It definitely was a tough process. It's getting easier. I see it as something that's ever growing, ever continuing. But yeah, at that time, I decided to use the skills that I did learn, the positives that I could gain from that military experience to tackle those issues.
Yeah, and I think that for anyone listening, that's really how coaching is. It's like, your ideal client is some energetic previous version of yourself, or some version of yourself that is looking for growth and direction. So since you've already traversed that path to some degree, and maybe I have still more healing to go, because the things that we've experienced as traumas, I don't know if they ever like fully go away. If you have an abandonment wound, that's always your story. But it's just how you relate to that and whether you allow it to unconsciously move through your experience.
Sure.
Or do you navigate it with consciousness and awareness? So those are the same types of things I try to impart to people that I interact with, and I think that you're doing the same thing. And I remember when you were talking about like the programming, the schedule of programming, it was like really interesting. Do you remember the different things you were having people go through, as far as it was like that 90 minute session and you had them doing different, like, you remember what I'm talking about?
You're talking about
the workshop. Yeah,
basically exercises that we were going over, exercises that help people to connect to their own inner sense of authority. Meditation was involved, basically a guided form, as well as exercises that involved interacting with other people in a way that helped people to start looking at things differently, while also focusing on things that they were overlooking. Another thing that I wanted to add in general about the overall process is just that one thing I learned is while the military and society help kind of subconsciously teaches people to overlook issues that they've been programmed to get entangled up in, one of the best ways to relate to one's story is to actually focus intensely on it and then consciously let go of it.
Mm-hmm.
So then the story can still be there, but that unconscious charge, that unresolved tension around the story, whether it's an abandonment issue, whether it's a romance issue, whether it's whatever it is, something with affection, by giving our attention and our awareness to that and acknowledging it for what it was, which was a past event, we can let go of the tension around it, mm-hmm. let it uncoil.
Right.
Release our attention, and we can choose to experience a new story physically.
Yeah, that's powerful. Right. Yeah, I'm glad that you're doing that work because we all need trauma healing. But I think especially people in the military that are veterans need a special sort of attention because I haven't been in the military, but I'm imagining some of the things in there are just especially traumatic. And I think we need people that have experienced those things, so it's not just someone saying, oh, you should do this. It's somebody who actually has used the tools that they're suggesting to heal themselves. So I think it's beautiful that you're doing that work. And another dimension that it's been fun to explore with you is the deepening of your art history. Because we've had many ciphers, many hip hop things, but you've definitely leveled up over the past few weeks. And Rashawn was actually the first hip hop artist to perform at My Moon Cafe.
Yes.
So he like christened the space. And then, so yeah, take us through the journey of your level up as an MC and as a musical artist.
I would say that what I have been experiencing is similar to what we were talking about, which is letting talents and gifts come out. When it came to my artistry, one thing I'll draw a parallel to was when I joined the military, I had stopped in general when it came to writing, when it came to creating, and I went for a good 4 to 5 year period of just not doing anything. And then eventually I hit a point where I got another perceived rock bottom and I snapped back into it. And I was like, I'm gonna do it anyway. I'm gonna step out of my perceived comfort zone and I'm gonna express myself regardless of whatever feedback I get or lack thereof. And so bringing it to the present, in leading up to having my first featured book performance at a venue, I had a similar feeling like, okay, I've been creating to myself, generally speaking, okay, send my music out to friends and family and, you know, people in my immediate sphere, but just to actually put myself out and to be recognized as a artist, that aspect of me does exist and is alive and well. And that's something that can come up for a lot of artists when it comes to perceived wounding, is feeling like that aspect of oneself doesn't exist or is not allowed to exist. And so then when actually stepping out and seeing, hey, I am an artist, there's a self-image confrontation. And that's something that came up for me. Okay, booked my first performance. Yeah, I have to show up now. And I have to allow myself to be seen. And I'm not just, again, drawing back to the military, I'm not just a number, even amongst artists. Okay, open mics are great. You go to an open mic though, you got all these quote nameless artists. Some of them may be coming from backgrounds that they feel like they have nothing and they have nothing to lose, but they have no identity either. And so this is different, a book performance. Okay, now this is about basically giving myself permission to be seen as an artist. Not only seen for one or two songs, but be seen for an entire performance set. And something that came up that was confronting was perceived selfishness. Like, oh, who do I think I am to have all this attention on me? That coming to that grounded realization, like, hey, we all have equal, infinite access to be seen and to see others. And so that was very powerful for me.
But yeah, it was powerful for us to witness too. Especially from where we started working together. I think you were volunteering a good bit at the World Beat Center.
Right.
And what was it, like 12 hours a week?
Yeah.
Okay. Which is a lot of hours to be volunteering when you're working and going to school and doing all these other things. And I remember I was like, why are you volunteering that many hours? Like, you have gifts, you have purpose. I feel like you know what they are. Let's take action towards them. Sure. So you switch Because there's nothing wrong with volunteering. It's obviously a positive thing. But we also all have specific gifts, and I feel like it's our responsibility to sharpen them and share them, because in the expression of those gifts, it's a specific type of medicine that no one else can give, right? No one has your life experience, and no one is going to be able to express and bring things through in the way that you can. And that's true for everyone.
Right.
So if anyone's holding back or hiding, then the world is a little bit less in that way. So I definitely had heartwarming feelings watching you perform. And knowing that this is just the beginning, not that you just started, but this is the beginning of a new chapter.
Definitely.
Right? And now you're in this production program.
Yes. Yeah, it's sound engineering, music production. So definitely excited. Another part of just expanding as an artist, and also just being able to facilitate and help other artists too.
Right. Yeah, okay, so we know you're a veteran and you're helping other veterans regain their true identity by looking inside. And we know that you evoke emotions as an artist, storyteller, MC. And I would love if you would start from birth. How you got there. So like from birth to military, and we'll give you 3 minutes and 33 seconds to tell your story.
So I chose to experience a reality where I was born into a very survival-based, military-dependent family. That was the case just in general, both sides of my family. And a lot of the things that I was taught growing up was just focus on surviving, focus on being safe, being stable, being comfortable, and don't let people take advantage of you. And so that basically just look out for yourself. And there was definitely accumulated wisdom in that. There was also a lot of things that just were disempowering to experience and perceive, and also just a lot of things that did not serve them either, my family. And so they were passing these things along as if they were true, and I was taking them on. And
where was this?
I'll tell you background, I grew up really everywhere, but I was born in England. We moved around quite a few years until my parents got divorced. My mom took my younger brother and I. We settled in Tampa, Florida for about 11 years until I joined the military myself. And it was definitely, there's definitely a case where I had that man of the house syndrome, and being the older brother that was in the household where there was no father present, taking on imaginary burdens, you know, that were never mine to begin with. And so with that being said, one thing I could note is that music and art as a whole, even as a kid, was always a solace, always a place at the time of escapism from my circumstances, where it always seemed like there was a cap in life. Like, this is how far one can go. You're always going to experience these traumatizing circumstances. And so here's art and music, here's food and certain other things, these sensual pleasures that could help cope with what life is, at least in that time. And so I went into the military with that, and going into the military really was just going from one limiting circumstance to another, actually even more limiting circumstance. Basically everything was exaggerated. The limitations were exaggerated, as well as the perks. I was more stable than ever. I had some finances under my belt. I was, in some ways, the most comfortable I ever could have ever been. And so that was, and that was, you know, my choice ultimately to go into that. Another aspect I'll bring in, just to tie into everything, is just that because there was such an emphasis on survival and comfortability and finance and everything material, there was a lack of intimate engagement, emotional engagement throughout both sides of my family. Unless it was anger, or fear. Those were the two prominent emotional states on both sides of my family. And so for myself, I ended up developing a sexual central addiction that started as porn addiction as a kid in middle school. And then as I became an adult and when I actually joined the military, that turned into different things, that turned into getting with prostitutes, that turned into hooking up casually with as many women and that kind of I could find, that turned into just using sex as a way of avoiding feeling those tough traumas, really processing my circumstances and making it like a something that justifies the journey. I can have these sensual things, I can have these pleasures, mm-hmm. and that makes all this other stuff that I'm allowing myself to experience worth it. And so that was something that you throw that in to be in the military. And that's pretty common, right? More common than a lot of people would think in the military. There's a lot of adultery in the military. There's a lot of just, especially if someone deploys in a relationship, there's so much that goes on in relationships and just behind closed doors. And so that was definitely something that I was engaged in, was just, again, using sex, using pleasure as a way to cope. Mm-hmm. And I was in a culture where that was very prevalent. So I was a match to that at that time.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have memories outside of sexual escapism that were enlivening or fun when you were growing up?
Really, going to the YMCA. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, as a kid, was very fun. I enjoy just team sports, field trips, just group activities in general. To me, the YMCA was such a grounded, wholesome place for children to go to. I loved that growing up. I went there throughout, really, through elementary, through middle school, and then I capped off around getting into high school. But that was definitely a place I enjoyed, and yeah, that's one.
And now just random questions about your humanness.
For sure.
What's one or two of your favorite movies?
Ah, that's a good question, actually. I would say there's this movie called Memento. It came out in 2000, and it's, spoiler alert, but the movie is a movie that goes backwards when it comes to the main character is recalling the circumstances that led to this violent murder that he was involved in. And the whole thing keeps rewinding, and the movie just basically plays these scenes backwards, and eventually you get the details of how this story happened, this crazy situation happened. And he doesn't remember when at the beginning of the movie and the violence thing happens, he doesn't even realize how deeply involved he is in this. And by the time the movie ends, you get this full, very graphic, emotional story, but it was told backwards. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of my favorites. This is more serious. Growing up as a kid, I always liked Harry Potter. And so I don't have a specific movie, but the entire series, I like the entire series. Just magic, fantasy, wonder. I've always enjoyed that. And I'll add that to earlier when it comes to things I enjoyed outside of music. I also enjoyed reading fantasy books. I collected those like crazy. My imagination was always active. And that was also another good way for me to get by. Yeah.
If you could have one magical power, what would it be?
Teleportation. Mm-hmm. Just so I could travel the world and experience different cultures, environments, people, just be there. No mm-hmm. limitations, mm-hmm. definitely.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
In 3 years, what does your ideal reality look like?
So, in 3 years, I'm successful in my career as a multifaceted coach. And that success is defined in that I'm actually building generational wealth with other coaches, with other members of my community, and we're all succeeding in that. I favor community and group finances, and so in 3 years, I see myself and like-minded members of who I identify to be community being financially sovereign, being of service, using our gifts, collaborating with each other, and just pushing the envelope forward in that regard. I see myself being a fulfilling relationship, and I see myself surrounded by people who are consistently growing. They're helping to push me, I'm helping to push them. Mm-hmm. And that includes family, whoever my friends are, and just basically just momentum in life. And I feel like I do have that in my personal self at this moment. And so by that time, I see that as the case for everybody that's in my reality.
It's a good dream.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else?
For that vision or just in general?
Yeah, you said your ideal reality in 3 years. That's what you see.
As well as an artist, starting, well, by 3 years, definitely to have enhanced and evolved the artistic culture in whatever city I'm in. So I'm in San Diego now, so hypothetically in San Diego, the general artistic culture, it's more socially healthy, more emotionally healthy, it's more frequent, and it's more collaborative. Not in that people have to collaborate with each other creatively, but just people help each other in general. Everybody wins.
Love it. That's pretty dope.
Thank you.
So it's November 9th, 2021. So I guess we need to check in on November 9th, 2024.
Exactly.
And see where we're at.
Let's go there now.
Yeah. But you said teleportation, not time travel.
Yeah, exactly.
They're different things. Yeah, very cool. Yeah, thanks for sharing about your journey and what you've been through to become who you are. And it's great to hear that you're in a place where you've got enough healing and introspection to be able to provide support for others to go through their journey. And ultimately, I think that's what life is about, right?
Right.
For me, life is about transcendence. So we experience things that are hard to order to have the experience of overcoming them and gleaning wisdom from, and then being in a position of service to support other people to do the same thing and continue the cycle. So it feels good to be where we are because we're not looking for the path, we're on the path.
Right.
And it's a never-ending path, but we know which direction to go.
Yes. Yeah, which step to take.
And that's how we radiate that Dharma glow.
There it is.
There it is. I think that I will drop the mic on that one. Is there anything else you want to share about, like, maybe how can people get in touch to work with you, where they can find you?
Yes. In general, you can find me by email at lookinsidework@gmail.com. You can find me online, Instagram. My artist name is Evokan, so that's EVOKAN _. And further building is happening where you'll be able to reach me in more places as well.
Wonderful. I appreciate you coming on to share today, Rashawn. It was a pleasure as always.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I love that this is just an impromptu and made happen.
Here we are, existing in the now. And we'll meet you in the now too. Come through for the next Dharma Glow event, November 19th through 21st. It's a 3-day experience. Go to dharmaglow.com to get that link. Peace.
Peace.
All right, fam. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Dharma Glow. We're here to inspire you and to elevate your consciousness so that you can live a life that leaves a legacy of love. If you enjoyed what you heard here today, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, sign up for the email list at dharmaglow.com, and stay connected. spread the word. What we're doing here is essential to the formation of New Earth. As long as we stay connected, we can't lose. Much love. This is Dijon. I'm out.